Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Comics Rule Everything Around Me, a podcast within a podcast about what else comics. I'm Chris, I'm your host, your podcast pal, and with me today to talk about comics once again, basically as always, is my buddy Matt
Drain. It's me,
Drain.
Matt Drain.
Yeah, there you are, sitting in your recording chair.
Yeah, you give me the comfy chair.
Well, you know, you're the guest, in my house at least. I mean, in the studio. Before we get into comics, which today we will be talking about Superman again, talking about Man of Steel. To catch up this week, just came out today, Man of Steel number 3. So we're going to be talking about 2 and 3 today. But before we get into that, a little different comic news. We're going to do comic related still, but a little bit of video game talk.
Okay.
Talking about this new Spider-Man game that they... E3 is happening, or has happened by the time you hear this.
What do the 3 E's stand for?
The Electronic Entertainment Expo.
All right.
And obviously, it's like the Comic-Con for video games every year, where they get to make all their big announcements, and people get to come have a big... have a big time. Everybody gets to just come and have a big old time. And I've actually got 2 friends who are at it right now this year. It's in California, because that's where all the... I feel like it's normally in California. Actually, no, now that it is in California. I believe it's in LA. I think I know that. Well, anyway, not important. just some of the pictures I saw from people who are there, but who aren't. Pictures while they were not at the expo specifically. Cut all this out. but we saw, now you and I had been talking about this for a little while leading up to it, with the rumors that Rocksteady was going to announce, finally, after years of speculation, that they were going to do this.
A Superman game.
Which is an open world Superman game from the people that made the Batman Arkham series, is kind of would be a real dream come true situation for me.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's like as many just awful video games as Superman has had, it would be so nice for him to finally get...
He's had some of the all-time worst.
Yes, he has had literally...
Somehow.
Literally, well, I mean, with some of that, we do know the how behind why it happened. You know, Superman 64 is notoriously one of the worst video games of all time. And there's a whole complicated, interesting backstory on why that game is as bad as it is, which I'm not going to get into because I'm no expert on it. But you can... Maybe I'll post like a link to a YouTube video or something in the show notes. Or you can just go look for yourself. It's a pretty fascinating story, though. It seemed kind of like I was saying that to you. Like, or maybe go look for yourself. But that was not the intention. You just happened to be sitting there. But I mean, it's not much better. So I remember when the Superman Nintendo game came out.
Okay. NES?
On original Nintendo, yes. And for me, as you know, my... strong affinity for Superman from a very young age. As you can imagine, when I saw this game, and like, this was back when you didn't know things were coming out, really. You would just go to the store
there
and suddenly see something, and your tiny mind was blown. And I remember I was out of town as a little kid, and just we stopped at a Walmart for some reason, and there in the case was a Superman Nintendo game. And I don't know how I possibly could have been more excited. And I was like so desperate to play it because we were like out of town. We were at family's out of town in Arkansas. So I didn't have my Nintendo with me. We were
so even if you got the game, you had no way to play it.
Yes. Thankfully, Peggy understood the situation.
But a kid will just like stare at the box, at the art.
Which is exactly what I was doing. I remember when Super Mario 3 came out. And every kid in my class brought it to school the next day. they couldn't have it away from them. We were all just like, so it seemed we all saw it. Like apparently somehow so many of us found out. I'm sure there was a little bit of a telephone game going on where it's like one of us probably went to the store and saw that it had come out.
Yeah.
That was one though where we didn't know exactly when it was coming out because games didn't have like hard street dates. Like quite like they do now, but there were commercials letting us know that there's going to be a Super Mario 3. And I'm sure one of us just happened to go to this, you know, go to some store that day after school and saw it. And then as soon as they got home, called somebody else who called somebody else. But we all showed up, like, you know, it must have been like 10 of us showed up the next day with it. Just, look what I got. And then everyone's doing that same thing. Anyway, but the Superman game.
What style game was the NES Superman game?
Oh, boy. You know what? I'm not even going to try to describe it to you. I'm just going to pull an image up real quick. Because it's truly, truly a remarkable.
I remember at the skating rink, they had a Superman arcade game.
Now, that's completely different. And that game is pretty fun.
It's, but it's a just side-scrolling.
It's basically just a side-scroller.
Shooter.
Flying.
Almost like.
So this is the cover, which, as you can imagine, me seeing that, very excited.
Oh, yeah.
Classic Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, the quintessential Superman image. You see that? Very exciting. This is a Japanese. This is not what the back looked like in America, but in Japan. So the game starts off. This is what the game looks like.
It looks familiar. I feel like.
Well, it's probably because a lot of crappy.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of games.
A lot of crappy 8-bit games. The game starts off where you're having to talk to the Statue of Liberty. And in this game. Oh, but it does have like the classic Superman theme.
Listen carefully.
It's got like, it plays like the super, they actually plays the Superman music, which is.
Statue of Liberty looks like a anime.
Like a chibi.
Chibi.
Yeah,
statue.
Chibi Statue of Liberty. I need to post, that's not from the Nintendo game. That's from, yeah, so this is like what the select screen looks like. And you're like, and he, Superman actually like flies up and lands. It's very crude, but you see that when you first start it and you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
It really looks like Superman. And then you get into the game and it's all these tiny little, you know, munchkin
Sprites.
People. Yeah. And I don't know if you can see in this picture, but this right here, this white thing coming towards Superman is a bullet. The gangster there is shooting this giant bullet at Superman. You have to try to jump over.
Well, you have to use giant bullets because the regular bullets bounce
wouldn't
right
hurt.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah. but so you're Clark Kent in his famous green suit. All green suit, hiding from the Blues Brothers, and I mean, this game was just a colossal mess. I found a kid in the neighborhood where we were staying with family that had a Nintendo and made friends enough so I could please play this game.
Let's cut to the chase. The purpose of this friendship is I need that Nintendo.
I need that Nintendo. Also, imagine, if you will, a Superman game where everything hurts Superman. He has no discernible superpowers. it's like, you know, they couldn't fathom of a way to use his powers in an 8-bit world that wouldn't just be completely make the game pointless. Because you're just so, you know, and it's basically like you run around and punch people. And hop over stuff and try to solve. And also, this is a very important part of the process that I did not understand at the time. The game is horribly translated. So it's like, it's translated into English clearly by people who don't speak English.
Right.
So there's like so much of what's going on, you have no idea what they're. You're like, wait, what does that mean? How do you. And it's like, or so you're just like, I don't know. You'll talk to Perry White. And you'll go,
I don't. He speaks in riddles.
I don't. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do here. Also, and when Superman gets hit a couple times, you turn back into Clark Kent, who is somehow weaker than the powerless Superman.
This is a lot like Mario. You take damage and you're a lesser form of yourself.
Yeah. So that was pretty disappointing.
Yeah.
That's another pretty disappointing Superman one. Superman had a game on the Super Nintendo that was like the Death and Return. Where you get to play as Superman and fight Doomsday.
Was that any better?
Die. Yeah, I mean, but it was just a basic. I mean, there wasn't really. It was nothing special about it. It was just like a beat 'em up side scroller.
That Spider-Man Maximum Carnage, was it kind of in that vein? Because I played the mess out of that game.
Yeah. Which that one had the red cartridge.
The red cartridge.
So cool. that one was, for some reason, I don't know what the difference, I couldn't tell you what the difference is, but that game was a lot more fun.
Okay.
Somehow the play, I mean, now don't get me wrong, I definitely played the mess out of that Superman game. And you get to play as all four of the... Of the return, the Reign of the Superman. It covered the whole... shebang, and it looked good. It had like good, you know, pretty good graphics for the time. But something about it just, I don't know. I don't know if it was that you couldn't quite be Superman.
Yeah, that's the fundamental problem, right, with all the Superman games is you. It doesn't really feel like Superman. Like a side-scrolling beat-em-up doesn't feel, you know, it's, you probably can't capture the flying around and the super speed and those kind of elements.
I don't know. And it's like, then some of the later ones they've done, you know, there was an Xbox exclusive Superman game that came out, you know, probably like around 2003, maybe 2004, somewhere in there. Maybe even a little earlier than that. I don't know. But it was like, they were like, oh, this is going to be the best Superman game ever, which, you know, low bar, but they were like, this one's really going to be different. We figured out how to do this and blah, blah, blah. And I don't remember.
This is after Superman 64.
Yeah. This is for Xbox. It was an Xbox exclusive and they were, I don't remember. I didn't have an Xbox, so I was like, great. but it was, I don't remember anyone really like making a big deal out of it once it finally came out. So I assume it was kind of a similar, like, disappointing.
Right.
And then there was a really big deal made of the game for Superman Returns, which the company, I don't remember which.
I remember seeing big advertisements for it in comic books and stuff.
Yeah. And it was like the...
A giant...
Giant Metallo was
yeah,
like
giant
the
Metallo
first...
robot.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, it's going to really feel like Superman and... you know, you're going to get to fly and just do everything. And it's, you know, the problems are just bigger. And that's why it's not going to feel like you're really going to get to feel like Superman. But it was another one of those ones where it came out and then it all just kind of fell by the wayside.
Did you get to play it? Because I
take that back. I played it a little bit. And my friend Nathan actually got me the one for the DS. But that was like a completely different type
right.
of game.
You're going to have to downgrade for the DS.
So, like we said, it'd be amazing if the company that made the company that made the Arkham games could make a Superman.
I'm not a big gamer, but I have played through every single one of those, all four of the Batman Arkham games. Even the ones I get one Rocksteady didn't make and yet wasn't as good, but it's still great.
What
games.
Was the one they didn't make?
Origins.
Oh, that's right.
Which got really panned. People really didn't like it. And I played it and I guess my expectations were so low. I'm like, it's not that bad. It's still a pretty cool Batman game. But yeah, those games are incredible. So just the idea of them doing anything else. You know, people talked about a Justice League game would be a cool transition.
That would be a lot of problems to try to solve in one game, though. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, they had to work really hard to figure out how to make a Batman game really feel like Batman. And then I imagine to try to figure out Superman would be an even much, much bigger hurdle.
Right.
But then to go, let's jump from just Batman to Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and The Flash and Green Lantern, you know, like people who have all these different powers to try to wrap your head around how to make a game challenging but not impossible but not too easy. It seems like a nightmare.
Yeah. I think people were talking about like maybe almost like a Brave and the Bold style. Like it would kind of continue with that same Batman, but then bring in Flash and he'd be playable for some sequences. Bring in Wonder Woman, who'd be playable for some sequences.
Well, could they?
Anyway, I don't know.
Could they? I mean, spoilers for the Arkham games, but doesn't Batman die at the end of the last one?
Yeah, he does. So they'd have to work around that. It could be, who knows? They may want to make it its own separate thing, but keep that play style or set it before he dies. Something
well,
like
you
that.
Know, I and actually, it's funny. This is all honestly like leading up to talking about that PS4 Spider-Man game. But now that we're into this, I'm also enjoying it. But have you played the Telltale Batman game?
No, I want to.
Okay, so that to me is the most, the closest I've ever felt in any video game to going like, oh, this is what it's really like to be Batman.
That might be a better way to do Superman.
What it's really like, I put in air quotes. Because
this is how the real Batman is.
Yeah, I love whenever you're not thinking and you say something like that. It's like, well, the real Superman wouldn't do that. The real Superman? Yes, what I think of is my personal vision of what Superman is. Those are like just incredible because I think those Arkham games are fun, but they are like a little bit more they're all sort of like, they feel like basically all of it is built around like brawling.
Right.
And just beating people up.
Yeah, by the time you've played four games, it's all just it's a combination. Yeah, it's either the big brawl fight or the what they call the predator mode of doing these takedowns on it. And it's just those sequences one after the other.
Yeah. And now, I mean, the first time that you do that, like, drop down on somebody and scare the bejesus out of them
awesome.
Like, snatch them back up, you really feel, you're like, this is special. But then after you've done that for four games, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
And I haven't even done it for four games. Like, you know, like, and I was already like, I went from this is super cool to like, okay, now you do this, now you do this. But in those Telltale games, even though it's like less, you know, the action is less like just, oh, punch, kick, do the, you know, combo, whatever. It's like more you're Batman and you're scoping a scene out and you kind of, as the person playing the game, you basically kind of plan out what you want Batman to do as though you were assessing the situation as Batman and go, and this is, I mean, this just is for the action, like the fighting stuff. You plan it out in your, you know, you go, okay, I want to go to this guy, then to this guy, then to this. And then you kind of start that chain in motion. And then it's more about hitting the buttons at the right time, which is, you know, a different kind of gameplay, but when you pull that stuff off, you feel so much cooler than just going like punch. Like, I'm just gonna beat these guys up.
No, those Telltale games have been crazy successful. That's a formula people get into. My kids played the Minecraft story mode.
Oh,
Telltale game, and it was pretty good, pretty compelling. I just watched them play it, but it worked because the idea was first told to me, or I first saw it. It sounds just like you're kind of just watching a movie and just hitting buttons sometimes, and that didn't seem compelling or interesting to me. But it is a little more than that. It's more there is more involved.
Oh, definitely. I mean, and it's like once you kind of get like pulled into the story, and it's the same way they did with like the Walking Dead games, and like, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy one they did is super fun. You really, to me at least, I start feeling way more like I am in that character's shoes when I am, like, because so much of those games is about making decisions and, like, talking to people and like, really trying to go, like, you know, it really feels more like you're becoming this character.
Right. And if Superman's powers are so hard to portray in a game, that may be the better way to go.
Yeah,
yeah. You're making those kind of decisions.
I mean, because then it's about knowing, like, okay, what do I want to use his powers to do? Like, I'm kind of looking at these options. I could, like, fly to this, or I could blow that up, or freeze.
Or give a motivational speech, and they repent.
Yeah, they stop. but yeah, like, that, I would, more than Rocksteady, I think that would be the thing that I would make me want to go, oh, I really feel like I'm getting to be Superman. I'm in control of him. But they didn't, after all these rumors, they didn't announce that. They didn't announce anything.
Right.
So I think we were talking about this a little bit before we started. Seems like the kind of thing that maybe they're just not to a place where they want to announce it yet.
Yeah, I'm assuming they're not doing nothing.
They got to be doing something.
I mean, it's not guaranteed it's a DC game even, or a Superman game, but I mean, it's a major studio, so they're not doing nothing. They've got something to work on.
They're not just sitting around. They got to be doing something to keep the lights on.
I've not played any of the Batman VR stuff because I don't have the
VR
PlayStation
stuff.
VR. So they may be just making more of that. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. Some of those VR games are very fun. Just the limited that I've gotten to, even with just some of the ones where I've gotten to play, where it was like really limited stuff, but it immediately makes you go, oh, I see what you could do with this.
Right.
And then suddenly you feel just very like, oh, this would be amazing.
The immersiveness of it.
And just really feeling like, oh, I have so much more of a control of what's happening to me right now.
What about a Superman VR game?
Oh, boy.
And you are Superman.
Oh,
and
boy.
And you're flying. Man, you're flying at Mach 3 over Metropolis and
completely missing what you were trying to do. Oh, this is wonderful.
You skip out on the mission, you just fly straight up.
I would just be
you
like,
fly through space, you circle the moon.
Yeah. I'd never come down. They better not make that, I think, because I would never come out of it, I don't think.
Chris, we need you to come out of Superman VR and live your life.
Yeah. This is my life now. Don't unplug it. So, but since they didn't announce that, they did show quite a lot of new footage and gameplay stuff for the PS4 Spider-Man, which I think we are both very much looking forward to.
I'm crazy excited about that. Again, I'm not a big gamer, but I will absolutely play that game.
Yeah, the question, the only question is when you're going
to
play it.
Right. Yeah, so we were talking about a minute ago. I've never, ever pre-ordered a game in my life. I had to talk to friends, say, hey, you know, what is involved in pre-ordering? Is there a reason not to? All those kind of things. But this is probably the first game ever that I might, you know, break down and pre-order.
And pre-order.
It looks so amazing.
Yeah, and you get some of that. Well, and, you know, it's some of the places you pre-order, you get, not only do you get the bonus stuff, but it's like, I think if you pre-order it at, you know, at some places they'll do, like, oh, you get, like, a $10 gift card or something. I think Best Buy is doing that.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, there's stuff like that to think about.
Yeah.
And
they give you kind of a wink across the counter that you're a real Spider-Man fan. You're a real, yeah. You know what's up.
That's the true thing to let people know what a fan you are is when you have that exclusive pre-order sticker. That's like, oh, this guy.
Yeah, I mostly just want to hold it over everyone.
Yeah.
I'm a Spider-Man fan.
Oh, speaking of getting things early, tonight we are going to the IMAX Incredibles double feature.
What?
Yeah. And which means we're going to get to see Incredibles 2 2 days early. So,
man, we're going on Saturday.
So 3 days early for you. So it's really, I'm really better than you. Yeah, I was just like, I didn't even know they were doing it. It's like they hadn't announced it until way closer to the time than they normally do with these kinds of things. And I was just thinking, I was like, man, it would be so cool if they would do that. And then I checked the Malco website and it said they were doing that. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Where are you seeing it?
At the IMAX at the Paradiso.
Oh, nice.
And because also I was like, man, I was trying to decide if I, you know, I was like, oh, do we want to do this? Like, that's a, you know, April likes going to the movies, but she is not the biggest fan of these, like, movie marathon things.
Right.
She likes them occasionally, but she doesn't like being sitting still for that long, which is fine.
I can't say. I don't think I've ever done, like, an in-theater movie marathon.
Oh, boy, have I. And I'm, like, I'm always excited for them when, you know, when I get a chance to do them. But, like, you know, I did the Guardians 1 and 2 one that they did, which was really neat. I did the Lord of the Rings.
That would be intense.
Yeah, that was, like, 13 hours at the theater. And I was on the front row for the entire time.
Oof.
Yeah, that's what happens when you get there a few minutes. Not even late. We just got there a little bit before it was time to start the first one. Then I also, the best/worst one I have done was I did the Star Wars marathon, which was episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then 7 when Force Awakens came out.
Was that your first time seeing 7 also?
Yes. Yeah, and it was like, it was...
So you're emotionally, physically exhausted before...
Oh, yeah, man. Because it started at like 2 o'clock in the morning the night before, you know?
Yeah.
You know, energy's very high, but you're starting with the prequels. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I want my energy to be very high for the originals, then sleep through the prequels, and right, wake up in time for the new one.
So they showed them in episode order. Mm-hmm.
They showed them in...
Yeah, not release order or machete order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They showed them in story chronological, canon order. And boy, that really put me in the wrong place for...
Where in there did you sleep?
I stayed awake through most of... No, I definitely stayed awake through like all of The Phantom Menace. And I think I...
Which is the best Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Everyone agrees.
That's what I'm trying to say. And then I kind of like... I probably like tried to nod off some in Attack of the Clones. And then tried to sleep as much as possible through Revenge of the Sith. And then... So I would be like wide awake for Star Wars.
Right.
But then I'm sure I probably nodded off some during Return of the Jedi. But I wrote a whole... Dylan and I both went to it and then wrote a whole write-up thing for it on... that was also the thing, was that I knew that when it was over, I was like, oh, now I'm going to have to like... I was sick for like 2 weeks after that. There were so many people jam-packed in the theater. And of course, you know, it's in December.
They brought their infectious diseases.
They brought all of their germs and people... And I was
breathing
so like,
on you.
Yeah, and I was already like so run down. And it's like in December, so they've got the heat on, but everybody's like bundled up and then hot. I mean, and people had sleeping bags and like pillows and stuff.
Man.
And it was a fun experience, but also I was like, it made me want to die. So I was in a real weird place by the time we got to Force Awakens, but I really enjoyed it. But I don't think I enjoyed it nearly as much as I would have.
Yeah, I don't think I would enjoy that process. So well, is that the Incredibles tonight? Are they showing Incredibles 1 first before the second one? That I think it's been a while since I've seen the first Incredibles, so that would probably be helpful. And it's just one movie.
It's just one movie. It's not six movies before the new one.
Right.
And well, it's also neat because, you know, Incredibles 2 is basically supposed to pick up exactly when Incredibles 1 ends. Like it starts just
right
after the other one. So that'll be a good thing. But it's also, I was like, man, when am I ever going to get to see the first Incredibles? Not only at the
on
movies
a big
again,
screen,
yeah,
IMAX.
But on in IMAX no less. So, I did the marathon of all three Toy Stories, which was pretty great. And they went back and put the first two in 3D.
Oh,
Because the third one was coming out in 3D. So for like the marathon, they were like, well, we've retro converted them into 3D, which is really easy for computer animated stuff.
Because, I can see that
for some reason. For
to do
computers.
It, yeah, to do it after the fact. What are they still doing a Toy Story 4 or is that not a thing?
As far as I know. I mean, I haven't heard that they've canceled it. So, but I don't think I think it's...
I know they've had some... Definitely not the direction we want to get into, but they've had shakeups over at Pixar with some different management people turning out to be gross, and I didn't know if that would affect it at all.
I have no idea. So, anyway. I haven't heard anything that... you know, I didn't hear any kind of announcements made alongside some of that stuff. But Spider-Man PS4...
Yeah.
You said, now I've liked that new costume from Jump. I just thought that like adding that white in there was like a really cool palette addition to, it's like something you don't normally see with Spider-Man. But that white really helps him stand out, especially like that we've seen now in the gameplay stuff. But it's interesting, my other big Spider-Man friend, Joe Martini, also not a fan. So it's interesting to hear that both of you guys were not...
I didn't like it at first. I think it has grown on me. I can feel it now. At first, it was just so much white and white not being traditionally a part of his palette as much as in the eyes. You brought up the good point of it's almost like the white spider from the black symbiote costume overlaid on the traditional red and blue costume, which now that you say that, that's exactly what they did. And then just seeing the footage of it in action, it's definitely grown on me. I think for me, I just always wanted to just be that regular.
You just wanted to be regular Spider-Man.
So you've got the ultimate Spider-Man game coming out. Not to be confused with the
ultimate Spider-Man game
on the PS2, which was a great game with the cel-shaded graphics and all that.
That was a game that made me wish I was better at video games because I got it looked it
some
was,
of those. What do they call them? The speed runs. Or
when
the
you having to like race
do.
Around with. Like human torches,
so
like, come on, you can't go to this next thing until you beat me in this race. And I'm like, I'm trying my
I'm not
best.
Very good at this.
Yeah, like, can you just skip this part? Let me get back to saving people.
So anyway, you've got this next level, next gen, the best Spider-Man game that's ever been made. And I want to play through it as the classic looking Spider-Man, not play through it in this special costume made for it. And then on the replay when I've unlocked the regular cut. Anyway, that was kind of my initial thinking going in. But the more footage I've seen of it, it's grown on me. I've warmed up to it. I think it's going to be cool. And then, of course, you know they're going to have, 20-plus skins.
And that's all I want from video games. For my superhero video games, all I want is tons of clothes to dress them up
Let's
in.
Let's just put them in a closet and they can model their costumes and skins.
That's all I want in these games is to be able to play them in every costume I can think of for my favorite characters.
You played 100 hours of this game and 99 and a half hours were just in the menu where you get to...
Well, that's like in... I remember in the wrestling games, like... We used to spend so much more time working on making characters, in the creator wrestler section than we would playing the game. Because a lot of times the gameplay was not that fun, but it was so cool to go, oh, I can make all of my friends.
Right.
Or I can make characters from movies or superhero. Of course, I would be making trying to make Superman in, with the best you could do. And some of those old games is really funny how you'd have to try to get around. But now you can just, in like that WWE 2K18, you can just make whoever.
Yeah.
And it like looks exactly like them, and it's insane.
One of the so the Arkham games are fantastic, but one of the downsides to me was you can't mess around with skins in the actual game itself until you've beaten it or beaten the story mode.
How dare they?
And at that point, it's like, oh, I've already beaten it. I'm not going to like go back to the start so I can play it again as Animated Series Batman or...
Which is all I want to do.
Frank Miller Batman or whatever. Yeah. Even though those skins look awesome, I'm going to play the little kind of bonus challenges and stuff in those skins, but not going to necessarily play the whole story again right away.
Yeah. Let us pay $100 and give us the game that we want from the start, instead of going, yeah, we know what costume you're really waiting for, and it's going to be in the third DLC thing.
Right. And I'm trying to get from their perspective.
I get it.
Why? We've paid it. They have all our money. Well, they don't have all our money.
That's
DLC.
What they want, though. That's the problem. They only have some of our money.
But why do I have to beat the story mode before I can play as the person I want to be? That part doesn't make sense.
Because they want all your money. They want you to spend more time playing the game.
And I'm more invested in it.
Yeah.
Like, I've logged all these hours. I want to get the more... maybe that's...
That's really what it is. I mean, it's like there's a whole thing to video... Like, and I'm sure there's people that we could have over to talk more intel...
The psychology of it.
Well, that know way more about just the video game industry. Like, Zach could probably like really break down a bunch of this stuff. But... it is that thing of they want to give people a reason to keep playing their game instead of switching to the next game. They want people to still be playing it instead of playing other games. And it's like, if you keep playing it and they kind of keep trickling out this stuff, if you're still playing it when the next thing comes out, that's the why they time these releases the way they do.
Right.
And it's like, but I mean, that's also, I said, just let me pay $100 and have it like I want it. They do offer, you can get those season passes for games right when they come out. But the problem is you still don't get them until they come out. And it's like, I just want to be Animated Series Batman from the start. I just want to play this whole stupid game as Zur-En-Arr Batman from as soon as I started.
Right.
Just let me look like this crazy, insane Batman, But no, they want you to, let me be.
I want to be Paper Baghead Spider-Man from Jump. And the NPCs reacting to me, like, what, why?
Yeah. Who is this guy? Hey, it's Homeless Man. The human bum.
That game looks amazing.
It looks
definitely
amazing.
Gonna play it.
And the gameplay stuff also look, what did you think of some of those, this is a much more extended video game talk than I thought we were going to have, but
maybe this could be its own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. Video games rule everything around you. This might be its own thing. Did you watch that video that had the at the raft?
Yes.
Where you see all of Electro.
7-minute video that was gameplay and pretty seamlessly into gameplay and what I guess you'd call cutscenes.
Now watching that, especially with all of that stuff going on, really made me appreciate this new costume even more because, man, in some of that stuff, he would definitely get lost in what all was happening if it wasn't for this big, bright, white spider on the front and back. And I heard them say that, we've talked about that it's definitely so they can have their own version of Spider-Man that, like, this is... So people recognize... Just like with the Arkham Batman, people, like, recognize all of those different versions of the Batman universe from the Arkham games. Like, people recognize those as, like, oh, that's the Arkham Joker. That's the Arkham Harley. And that's been very successful. So obviously they want it for that reason. So that's why you got to have everybody.
Yeah, that branding is helpful for merchandising.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Everything has got to... Well, and also you want to show that like, oh, look how popular our version is. People really respond to this version.
Right.
And that's why everybody has to basically have a makeover, like a redesign. They can't just look like how they look in the comics. But I lost it.
White spider makes him pop.
Oh, but we've talked about that. But like they have said that. thank you so much. They have said that one of the big reasons why they did that was to, that they were working with different costumes when they were designing it and trying to find ways to make him stand out more as fast as he's going to be moving and as much as going to be going on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think I heard that maybe some of that talk like. As the same time when I saw the new costume. So maybe that's why it like just immediately I was fine with it.
Yeah.
But like the more I see of it, especially like seeing all that gameplay stuff, like the more I like it, to the point where I'm going like, this is now already become like probably in my top five all-time Spider-Man outfits. Wow. This is also like a fashion episode. I'm just talking about.
Yeah.
What I really want is just a very high definition superhero dress-up game that just lets me, yeah, I don't, yeah. You don't even have to have any other gameplay stuff. Just they can, I can pose them around and have them do some cool stuff.
And my daughters have like 10,000 of the iPhone app games about dressing up Barbies and, or not Barbie brand, yeah. Barbie, but generic, you know, whatever, and different outfits and stuff. But if they made a superhero one.
Yeah, I would get it in a heartbeat. I'm so like, just, oh, if, especially if it had, not just where you could put, where it had like their different outfits that you could pick from, but if it had where you could like mix and match stuff, go like, I'm going to make the ultimate Martian Manhunter costume. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm finally going to fix this guy. This is, I know what to do best here. And I know what you're saying. Chris, couldn't you just draw that? And yes, I could, but let me play a video game for once.
Yeah.
I want this as a video game. I don't want to have to take a pencil with me. And and I want to be able to, anyway. Oh man, now that's all I'm going to be thinking about. Well, it's like, I remember Yuji and I talking once about how the ultimate like X-Men game that we wanted.
I was about to say, you're not talking about a game that exists.
No.
Okay.
Like our dream, like talking about dream video games, like our dream X-Men video game was basically like Animal Crossing, but with the X-Men.
It's walking around the mansion.
Yeah. You're just hanging out at the school and you're meeting people and making friends. And every now and then it would be like some kind of little battle, but the battle system would be like Pokemon or something. You know, you'd have like your, oh my God, this is a great idea for a game. Why hasn't someone made this?
Or Final Fantasy style.
Yeah, something like that. Turn-based. Like, yeah, just turn-based, not, oh my gosh, this would be so fun. You know, but saying that, I think those Lego superhero games are super fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've played any
I've played
of
a little bit of Lego Batman, Lego Star Wars, but they've had some more recent ones that are even more involved. I've not played any of the new Marvel
I think
ones.
You would absolutely love the Lego Marvel Super Heroes one, because, man, the roster of characters on that is just ridiculous. But at the same time, you also might just enjoy watching
That's true.
The yeah, YouTube video yeah. of just watching it play out, because you basically get the same thing. The gameplay is not... you know, fancy enough to merit, like, to for someone like our age, I think.
Right.
To where you're going like, no, I really need to be controlling this. It was fun when I was doing it, you know, but yeah. It was like, it's very kind of repetitive. But it's, the game is so fun, like, the stuff that's peppered in there is so fun, you just, it's easy to keep playing it. But I'm also going like, if someone better than me was playing this and I just watched it, I would probably be having about as much
right.
fun. It's the same level of fun.
Yeah. So a little view into my household. I've got an 11-year-old son who loves video games and...
Quit bragging.
And he... but he will equal amounts time watch YouTube videos of people playing the games as actually play them.
Yeah.
He's really into watching people play Minecraft. These last couple months, it's been all Fortnite, just 24/7 Fortnite. Well, I guess he sleeps, but he's probably dreaming about Fortnite. Playing Fortnite and then watching videos of people playing Fortnite, repeat. That's his day, you know, to the extent that we let him. We control screen time a little bit. we'd have to, or else that's all.
Yeah, or it would just be nonstop.
But I say all that because Fortnite also does the skins thing, and you can change how your character looks, and it's a lot of fun.
I didn't care at all about Fortnite until someone told me you could be John Wick in it, and then I was like, oh, well, now I'm interested.
Well, you have to be really, really good to get John Wick, but yeah.
Well, I'm out. Never mind. I'm back. I'm disinterested again.
You have to get, I think, level 100 you unlock John Wick.
Is he actually called John Wick, or does it just look just like
him? It just looks just like him. Okay. But they've done stuff... game modes.
Oh, didn't they have Thanos in there?
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Okay. So they had Thanos in there as a playable, like, you know, there's weapons scattered all throughout this island. You're running around shooting people and you could find the Infinity Gauntlet. When you picked it up, you became Thanos, and then he had his own power set, and then everyone take down Thanos. And it was a lot of fun. But then that made my mind start going as like, well, you can put any Marvel character into this, but only some would make sense. Like for a game where a shooter game where you run around shooting people with guns, but it's like a Winter Soldier skin would be awesome. A Black Widow skin.
Yes. Well, I imagine the first person I immediately thought of was Captain America.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you wouldn't have to kill. I mean, he's got the shield, so you can block. Yeah. And then throwing that at people and stuff, that would be. And, like, the way that the look of that game is fun, where it's like I could imagine seeing those characters in there in a fun way and it would fit. And
having Thanos proves they've already got some kind of something worked out something with Marvel. So yeah. It shouldn't be too hard to sub that in, but. Yeah, yeah. No, we sat around the other day trying to think of all the different Marvel characters that, because some just wouldn't work in there. But then some you could see. Yeah,
I don't know how you'd put Spider-Man in it.
Yeah, yeah. He wouldn't necessarily work because you're running around shooting people with guns and bazookas and stuff. But any of the Punisher, obviously.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Falcon, especially the way he's been portrayed in the movies, you know, with the guns and mm-hmm. stuff. And there isn't even an element of you're on gliders sometimes yeah. and stuff that his wings would look perfect for. But you could have a whole Marvel themed. Fortnite going on, which
somebody get on that. I'm sure someone's already working on that.
Yeah,
I'm sure they're just waiting to announce it.
Yeah, that's another one where they just trickle out stuff over time that to keep the popularity up. But yeah, our house is Fortnite central right now, and I like playing it too. I'm not very good. I'm not getting epic wins or anything, kill streaks or anything like that. But it is fun to play, even if you. Don't know what you're doing. It's still
awesome. Does being bad at video games make you feel bad about yourself? When you're trying to play some game, you're like, this seems so cool, but I'm just bad at it. And it's making me... Sometimes I'm playing games and I'm just going like, this isn't fun.
Right.
Because... Or this isn't as fun as I want it to be because I'm not any good at it.
Right. Yeah, so a good game has to walk that line of it's still fun, even it can't be too hard to just quit, but then it's got to be challenging enough that it's...
Well, I think the big difference is it's like, I we used to play, I can't tell you how many hours I had spent playing some of those like old games where it was like just getting pummeled by some part mm-hmm. of a level over and over and over and over. And I think we've talked about this
Battle
before.
Battletoads, Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles is exactly what I was thinking mm-hmm. of. Well, and especially when they just announced that new Battletoads the other day, I was like, that was...
They've got to have some kind of that level where you're on the bikes dodging the walls.
Yeah, but thinking about that kind of stuff, though, where it was like... I think we've talked about this before, or I think I've talked about this on the show before, where like, I remember like, either talking to somebody with kids that had a game or some, but where he was talking about how he let his kids play some of these old games because they're like into Mario mm-hmm. or into Zelda or whatever. And so he was like, oh, you probably want to play some of these old games. And they're like, yeah. And then they play it for a few minutes and they're like, this game's broken. And it's like, no, it's not broken.
It's just hard.
It's just hard. Yeah, they assume that something's wrong with the game if they can't just do it immediately. And then when you die and have to start over, they're like, what?
No save points.
Yeah.
No checkpoints.
But thinking about some of that stuff, and I'm going like, yeah, I used to play stuff all the time where I would just be frustrated endlessly by it and play it over and over and over. But that was also like what I had access to as far as entertainment was so much smaller.
You couldn't just switch to the next thing.
I didn't have a million streaming channels of like all these like movies and cartoons and TV shows and all this stuff. And I've got so many video games now where it's like, where you kind of feel like, oh, is it just that I'm bad at them? Or is it that I have less patience for it now?
Right.
Or is it both? Or.
Yeah. No, trying to explain to my kids just how much Mario Brothers I played because that was the only game. I mean, probably played some Duck Hunt, but not that. I didn't really like it as much, but just played a ton of Mario. Because that's all there was. I only had the one game.
Have you played any of Mario Odyssey now? Or
yeah. I have played.
Has he not let you near it?
No. He's real good about he wants.
To, I was going to ask. Play does he want so you to play with him?
Yeah,
that's cool.
No, he created me an account on a Switch so that my playing doesn't affect
doesn't
his
mess him up right?
anything. And then he got Breath of the Wild too for his birthday that I've not gotten to play yet, but I want to. But yeah, so I've played a lot.
That's
Mario Odyssey's great.
That's another one of those games, Breath of the Wild, where I'm like, I love Zelda, I love the mythology of the Legend of Zelda world. Mm-hmm. I've got this Triforce tattoo because, like, I love Zelda so much, but I have never been good at the Zelda games. I love them. I love playing them. Like, you know, I got Ocarina of Time. I pre-ordered it. Like, I got it the day it came out. I could not have been more excited. And, you know, and then get home and play it for hours, very unproductive hours, right, where I'm just like, oh, I'm not good at these games. I'm trying my best, but, you know. But Breath of the Wild is one of those games where I'm like, this looks so incredible. And I'm like so mesmerized by it. But I'm like, I could just as easily watch someone play this and feel perfectly content.
Right. You
know? Like, I don't think me controlling it badly is going to add anything to my experience. So
yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, so you're talking about the older games having a higher difficulty. So
It's difficult in a different way, I think.
Yeah. So Nintendo put out where you could download what ended up being the Super Mario Brothers arcade game, which looks a lot...
Wait, Super Mario Brothers arcade or Mario Brothers arcade game?
Well, it looks like and plays like the very first Super Mario Brothers on the NES. In fact, I thought that's what it was when I got it at first. I didn't realize it was the arcade game. And I didn't realize that they're different until after reading Wikipedia articles. But so I saw this game and I had that exact same thought of like, man, I wish you could play the game that I spent hundreds of hours playing because it was the only game there was. And then also I wanted to show off how good I was at it because I could speed run that first Mario game. I can beat it, or at least at the height. It'd probably take some warming up. I could beat it in less than 10 minutes doing the warps, just running straight through all the levels. You know where the warps are. You can look it up. I could beat that game in less than 10 minutes. I wanted to show that off so that, and it wasn't cheap. It was like $10 to download it. And we got it, and then we would take turns on it. And yeah, he would say that, like, this is difficult. It's hard. But then also it was still fun to play, even though the graphics weren't on the same level, which I wondered too. Like, the graphics are so amazing nowadays. Are they going to look at the old 8-bit graphics and be turned off? But no, I think they still saw the appeal to it.
Kids, like, again, I can't remember if this was something I read or someone I was talking to on Twitter about it, but he was talking about it's hard when you have so much social interaction via the internet. It all kind of starts like, was that an article or was I talking to someone about this? Or was this someone out in the world that I actually spoke to? The important part of this anecdote is this guy has a kid who absolutely loves the Zelda games. And he has, thanks to being able, you know, virtual consoles, he has all of them now. From from Breath of the Wild all the way back to the original Zelda. He's got like all the games that you can readily get access to. And to him, the old ones don't... None of the art choice... Like, none of the way the games look are intentional art choices. Not... Oh, that was the limitations of the hardware.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks that, I can't remember what he said, but it was like, I think it was like he was saying that Wind Waker, he called Wind Waker that the paper cutout one.
Yeah.
Like, he thought that was just what they wanted that one to look like, not that it was, you know. And,
on some level, that's true, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's like that idea of like, oh, to some, I mean, obviously not all, some kids just see stuff and be like, this is old.
Yeah.
No, I don't like that. But it's like, when you see some kids just like treat it as like, oh no, it's all just Zelda to me. Mm-hmm. They have no context for it because it's all brand new to them.
Right.
So they're just like, oh, this is neat. This is, you know, and they know this is Link in all these different games. Also, I saw a kid come up and play Super Mario Brothers 3 on an original Nintendo. He came up and he was playing it. And I just was kind of like watching him play. This is at an arcade. Saw him playing it. And then I looked and noticed that he was like running through the level. Not like great. It was like clearly the first time he'd played it. But he was clearly a kid who plays video games. So he got the idea. But I noticed he was playing with the control pad upside down.
What?
It's like he just picked it up and was like, oh, if I push this, he goes this way. If I push this... It made no difference to him. And it's like, he was just playing with it like that. He's like, oh, I guess this is how you do it. And just, no questions asked, just started playing it like that. And I was like, oh, wow. You know what I mean? Just like, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
he didn't say a word. He didn't ask anybody, like, oh, this is, he didn't say, just sat down, started playing it, and was just running through Mario 3. I was like, that's so wild.
Yeah. Yeah, that Mario game we downloaded.
And I didn't dare tell him to turn it over.
It seems like the inverted D-pad would be enough to make you think.
This kid just
was like, a side-scroller. Like, it's not an airplane game. It's not... yeah. But yeah. So that Mario game we downloaded, I was really disappointed because it ended up not being the NES version, but the much more difficult arcade version that does not have, you can't just warp to the end.
Yeah, they want those quarters.
The first several levels are identical, though. So I thought, man, I'm blasting through. This is fun. And then you get to the, you can warp to World 4 like normal from 1-2. But then when you go to where you do the 4-2 warp and warp all the way to World 8, it just gives you the option to go to level 6 or World 6. And then from there, you've got to just play it, grind it out. And then starting with World 6, one of those first few levels, it gets impossibly hard. The difficulty just ramps off the charts. And so that's when I started reading about it, that, yeah, the arcade game is incredibly difficult and people can't beat it. And, and it's like almost impossible to beat some of those levels. And then I'm like, man, I wanted to show off how good Dad was at a video game, but it's just not happening. They're going to continue to be better than me.
You've got
to
delete that one off of there and get the real one.
Well, I guess whenever, yeah, I'm sure they'll put it out eventually.
But yeah,
yeah,
there's but don't try to not let him know the difference.
Oh, he knows. No. Yeah, we lamented together.
Well, that's fine. I feel like it's going to take someone like, you know, a kid to beat those games, though, that's like, oh, this is impossible. And then, you know, somewhere in the world, though, there's like... Well, okay, so you know, Twin Galaxies is the arcade slash organization that for years has been basically like the official keepers of like the world records for certain video games since like back in the arcade days.
Yeah, I didn't know there was anyone doing that.
Well, if you've ever seen, well, I guess you haven't, but you should check out just because it's super fun and it's like it's a really interesting fun movie called King of Kong.
I've heard of it,
which is like the documentary about. Two guys basically dueling over the world record for Donkey Kong. And it's just, it's such a fun documentary. And it's just it's a really captivating story. And then like the drama with it has like continued past the movie. It's been long enough now that they could probably make another one now. Yeah. And like, cause new thing, and they're just like, all the people involved are just like such characters. And it's like these people who have like, been video game world record holders since the 80s. You know, it's basically like the guy who had this record from since the 80s is being challenged, you know, when he was like a teenager, is now like as an adult still like really takes pride in it as being challenged by this other guy who's just like, you should just see the movie. I'm not gonna, okay. but there's like Twin Galaxies, there's some kind of thing with them where it's like basically they only honor scores from America. For like all of these different things, because any game you can think of that old or new, where it's like you could try to get a high score, their thing is basically like there's some kid in Japan who has already done it a million times better than you could, you know, like something like that. So I feel like when I hear stuff like that about these games, that like these old games that were really hard, I'm always like, I bet there's some kid in Japan who is just who can do it. Yeah, like
there's
blindfolded.
There's always someone better than you.
Yeah,
it's like Ben Folds says. Always somebody
famously
cool. Yeah, always somebody cooler than you. I thought so. I was real proud of being, you know, I don't know, I was probably 18-19 when I did it, but did that speed run of Mario in less than 10 minutes. But then so I looked it up.
I was gonna ask you
when I wasn't able to show my son, I wanted to show him what it was like. And then you've got guys on YouTube that can do it in 5 minutes, and I'm like, how I'm running full speed,
yeah,
like not stopping for any coins, not stopping to bounce anybody. And how, anyway, it's insane. So yeah, there's people on here that are streaming on YouTube and they're just insanely good. I'll start to say too about,
but they're doing it with their feet.
Yeah.
Or they're doing
with their eyes closed.
They're not like, oh, I'm blind, but I can still run this in a minute and a half.
They've memorized all the combinations. Well, so they have that game Mario Maker where people made insanely. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking the people that messed around on Mario Maker on those impossibly hard maps probably could go and play through some of these really tough arcade Mario levels.
Mario Maker is super fun too. Have you played it?
I'm not, but I've watched.
And it's so cool. Speaking of like what you were talking about earlier about like wondering how they would react to seeing like those old graphics, there's like a really cool thing on there where you can take a level that's like a classic Mario level, and you know, like from Mario 1, but you can like push a thing and all of a sudden it'll look like it's, it'll render it like it's Mario 3.
Oh, okay.
Or it'll render it like it's Super Mario World. Or then you can go to Super Mario 3D, which is like, or, you know, new Super Mario Brothers, I mean, which is the one where it's still flat. I mean, you're still going side-scrolling, but, you know, everything's rendered in three, all the models and the world are all in 3D. And so it's still, you completely, it still plays exactly the same. You still know it's exactly that world, but it looks so much different.
Yeah,
and
that's like wild.
That's like a really weird, or you take some of those like worlds from Super Mario 3 and then suddenly have them look
render
like
them 8-bit.
Yeah. And it's like, it's a really interesting change
you
to
get
just like
8-bit
play with
Yoshi?
I don't know. I mean, I have to assume you can, because there's all kinds of stuff. Oh man, I should turn that on in a minute. We should just play some of that because it's super fun. And like getting to make your own levels. It's also really cool in that game how you, the way that you, they don't just give you the whole bucket of supplies from the start, because it would be really overwhelming and the stuff you would make would just be a mess. And so they start you off with just sort of like a basic toolbox of things you can make. And then like once you've spent X amount of time working with this, they go like, oh, hey.
Did you ever play Little Big Planet?
Yes.
It does that. You get it over time.
But I never tried to like make stuff in Little Big Planet. I just wanted to play around in it.
Yeah.
My
kids play that one, and you can play other people's worlds online. And I look at the stuff these people have come up with, and I'm like, how? Did you even?
Yes. Well, and some of those worlds on Mario Maker, where it's like, it won't let you upload a level for people to download unless you can beat it.
Yeah.
So you can't just make
something. Which is really neat.
Yeah. You can't just make something that's like utterly impossible and then go, haha, try to beat this. You know that those people have to have beaten it. And then when you play some of those levels and it's just like, how?
Yeah, sometimes there's like no ground. You just have to bounce off bullets or bounce off, do a certain number of
combos. There's some super fun levels that are like, this was like a real big thing for a minute where people were making these levels where you just start and you don't touch anything. And it like, they've set up a thing to just run you through the entire board and all this other, some of them it's just like, check out how I've figured out a way to the physics. It's basically like they've done a physics problem of like, how do you get this guy from here to here? And it's like, you don't touch anything. It'll run you through and there'll be stuff. Some of them will have like bullets going off, you know, and like, you know, things blowing up or whatever, you know, there's all this stuff going on. But then there are also some where they're not only are they like running you through the level with all this like complicated things going, but I wish you guys could see how much I'm talking with my hands as I'm describing.
They're whizzing around.
Yeah, really just pointing and moving. And but they'll also have things where it's like as it's happening, as you're getting thrown through it, like the stuff you're hitting is making notes to unlock, like it's playing a song as you're going through it. And it's like, so people clearly have too much free time is what I'm saying. But it's really fun watching some of those, or quote unquote, playing some of them, just going like, well, this is neat. It's throwing me all around. That was cool. Someone put a lot of work into this. My big thing was I was trying to make levels that weren't hard. They were just irritating. Like it would just take you a long time to get through it. Like just making stuff intentionally where like, oh, you can't run. You have to like stop and like go and like just all this stuff. And you have to do like a lot of back and forth. That was my big thing. So it's like, it's not hard. It's just, you have to, it's going to take you a long time to, it's like, look, I put all this work into it. I want you to take a long time. But none of it was just, you know, impossible. It was just, no, you can't just run. You've got to stop and slowly jump from here to this next little thing. And anyway, well, we've certainly talked about video games for a while.
Yeah.
I think this is probably just going to have to be its own episode. And so thank you guys for listening. Matt, tell them where they can find you.
On Twitter, at XAMattDrain. I don't use my Instagram or Facebook hardly ever, so that'll probably be good enough.
You should. I wish you would check your Instagram more often, because so often I see things on there that I want to send to you, and I'm like, I know he's not going to see this for another month, but if he saw it right now, he would like it. I need some. I guess I should just, I could copy the links and just send them to you. But I'm like, oh, it's just one button push. It's so easy. Thank you guys for listening. Matt, is there anything you want to plug while you're here? Anything?
Yeah, not in particular.
Anything you want? Anything you think?
People, if I was like a real gamer, I would say, here's my PlayStation account and you can add me and we can play games together, but I'm not on there enough.
Yeah, same. So thank you for listening to this. Maybe we'll start talking about video games more often. Probably not.
Well, how about we do another one when the Spider-Man game comes out and we know more to say about it?
That sounds good. That will require us getting it, though. So now that's like definitely making like a $60 to $150 commitment, depending on which version of it we get. Also, I wonder if it's that thing. Oh, which that's another thing that is the worst, when it's pre-order this game and you get this bonus content. But if you pre-order it from here, you get this different bonus content. Right. And it's like, I can't buy four copies of this game, y'all. And then you're like, oh, do I just wait and get
the... Maybe we'll just watch somebody play it on YouTube and we'll talk about that.
That sounds good. That sounds good, too. I bet I will like that almost as much. Yeah, so thank you guys for listening. If you've got any video game stuff you want to tell us about, if you think we should talk about video game stuff more, if you've got a good name idea for a video game version of the show... Tell us, send that stuff in. You can send that to keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet at the show at KICTMpodcast. If you're not following that already, please do. And help us out by retweeting when we talk about the new episodes are out. That's like super big help, and we appreciate it when you guys do that. What is the other thing? Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at TheChrisHaley. You can get early access to shows and other behind the scenes stuff. And secret things, I don't know, stuff in the mail at patreon.com/thechrishaley. Thank you to everyone who supports the show there. Really appreciate it. And yeah, I guess that's all. And we're talking video games. Video James! Yep. Man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a shame that everybody can't render him like that, because that's a good look.